Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you here with us, joining us for episode 104 of the pod. Want to give you a quick reminder before we get into today's discussion about the what if Luke Skywalker turned to the dark side discussion we're having here today. Want to give you that quick reminder that if you are not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout channel on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of the podcast and our latest reactions to all Star Wars shows when they go live. Shout out to the 458 of you who are subscribed over on YouTube. Check it out and hit the subscribe button over there if you have not, or if you're watching the video version of the podcast right now. You can also contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them on the pod. And of course, you can find the Hoth Hangout podcast wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows other people that love Star Wars to discover the podcast more easily. You can find us on the socials on TikTok, Instagram, and X. We're at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms, as well as you can find the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server down in the show notes of today's episode as well. And moving into our discussion today, of course, we are talking all things, what if Luke Skywalker had turned to the dark side? And so our question we would like to pose to you as we get into the mindset of this discussion is, would you want to see Luke join Vader in some alternate reality, in a what if reality, if you will? Of course, that is what we're going to be discussing today. Lots of other fun news to discuss as well in regards to upcoming Star Wars projects. But before we get into that, what's going on, Joey? How you doing?
Pretty good. This is going to be a fun one. I think I was inspired by, What If from the Marvel Universe, as well as Rebuild the Galaxy. You know, we kind of saw a little bit of alternate realities, alternate universes with Darth Jar Jar and Darth Rose Tico and Surfer Luke. I mean, I definitely wasn't expecting that one. So I think this would be a fun one. I think there's questions that, like this alternate reality, does this alternate universe idea that we could have. I don't think we actually have this in Star Wars like we do in Marvel. I don't know. Had you seen the new Deadpool Wolverine movie yet?
I have, yeah. It was. I thought it was pretty good. What'd you think about it?
I enjoyed it. Yeah, me and Jazz actually just watched it this week, because it's now available on Disney Plus. Not sponsored. But I thought it was pretty good. Gory as you expected, but also has a little heart there at the end too. But because that has a little bit of the many universes that could collide in on each other. If you have not seen the movie, sorry for the big spoiler I just gave you there. But to have it in Star Wars, to maybe a little fan fiction. Maybe we're gonna have a little fan fiction reading here today what would happen if Luke would have just joined Vader and not stayed with the rebellion.
Yeah, that is kind of like the fun thought experiment that's part of this style of episode, is that it's an opportunity to to kind of flex those creative muscles and be like, all right, what would have happened if things have gone a lot differently? So
right.
There may or may not be a fan fiction here in today's episode. Well, you'll have to stay tuned for another 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so before we get into the deep fan fiction stuff that I may or may not have written over the weekend. So stay tuned for that one. but before we get into some of our discussions about, this what if Luke had turned to the dark side, we had a lot of really interesting and enlightening Star Wars announcements over the past few days. There was it was released in conjunction with, I think, Disney Plus's push for like all of their upcoming stuff. But at the same time, D23 in Brazil was going on, and there is now an official release date for the second season of Andor. A sneak peek was shown of the second season at D23 in Brazil. And there was also, of course, a short clip, as I mentioned, in this Disney Plus ad that was released over the weekend. And so we now know that Andor will be here. Gosh, what would that be? In 6 months' time from now. six months in a few weeks.
That's not very long. That's not very long in Star Wars world.
Yeah, people are pretty, Andor's a pretty polarizing show. I have a friend who listens to the podcast who's like adamantly that Andor is her least favorite show. I don't know. It might be my favorite live action show, but a kind of a polarizing show. I'm super excited for season two. We already know that this has been confirmed as the final season of Andor. So kind of sad in a sense that's like, oh, this will be our last experience. Probably, I would think, with the character of Andor in live action, unless they maybe bring him back for something at some point, an offshoot movie or something. But clearly that would have to take place before Rogue One. Sorry for the slight spoilers there. but yeah, what'd you think when you heard this news that it was coming out in April of 2025?
I was happy that we just have a date. It could have been late 2025. I was actually pretty excited that it was April 2025. I wasn't expecting it that early. I thought it was definitely a later in the year type of release. So it makes me think about, what probably won't happen during that time. Because I'm thinking of like Tales of the something would have come up around that time, maybe around May the 4th. Maybe that doesn't happen anymore. Or maybe it does. Maybe they have... Because, they just drop that right in the middle whenever they want. It wouldn't even matter because they drop all six episodes normally. So if there's something like that in the works, I would doubt like something like a Vision Season 3 would come out at this time, but...
Ooh. Don't tempt me.
Who knows? I was more excited that there was a date. I was happy we got some footage out of this Disney Plus ad. We saw the return of Bix, for instance, no longer being tortured. So we know, she gets out of that whole deal. A little bit of interaction with Andor and Luthen, which was really cool. I can't wait for another 5-minute speech from Luthen, in season two. But yeah, I'm excited. It did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And not only did we get news about Andor, and we also got a new, the folks at D23 were able to watch a new action-packed scene, as it was described, from the upcoming series Skeleton Crew, which at the time of this recording, at the time of the release of this podcast episode, it'd be 19 days, I think, until less than 3 weeks, till Skeleton Crew comes out, which... as a reminder, we'll be watching each episode here on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. Check out our reactions to those episodes as they come out over on the Hoth Hangout YouTube. But again, the folks at D23 got a special look at a particular scene. I actually haven't heard much buzz about this, Joey, other than the fact that they saw it. Have you heard anything else in regards to like the content of the scene that they watched?
No, the only thing, again, I saw was action-packed, so I didn't really see much of... And I'll be honest, I didn't really search it out either. I'm of the camp where if it was not meant for me to be seen, I will not be looking for it for the most part.
Yeah.
There are things that I have looked for sure in the past, but for this one, I'm like, I'm just going to let this, whatever they want to show me, and because this was also a clip that was on the Disney Plus ad as well. So there's a little bit of action in there. You got action of the kids and Jude Law. So not a ton to dissect into that clip, but pretty fun one that as well.
You're telling me you're not one of the 2012 Reddit bros who, when Han Solo died in, or not 2012, what year did Force Awakens come out?
2015. Right? Oh, 15. I'm sorry, 15.
Yeah, the 2015 Reddit Star Wars bros who were commenting Han Solo dies to spoil it for people.
Oh no, are you serious? I don't remember. Yeah, good thing I wasn't on Reddit then.
Yeah. Anyways,
although I guess
yeah.
Wait, what were they doing that before the movie came out, or
like the day it came out? People, Okay. Yeah, it'd be like, look at this cute picture of my daughter and her boyfriend at homecoming, and the top comment is Han Solo dies.
No way.
That was like not related to any. Anyways. Yeah, so I'm of the same mind of you. When there's something that's not intended for me to have seen yet, I'm going to try my best to avoid that and not spoil it for other people if I am in the group of people who has happened to have seen that. So like the folks at D23 who got to see this action-packed scene from Skeleton Crew. So Skeleton Crew also did have a short snippet in that Disney Plus ad we mentioned that had the Andor snippet in it as well. The other piece of news we got from the D23 event was that the Mandalorian and Grogu movie, there was a video message from Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau alongside a sizzle reel that captured the heart of the journey so far and gave fans a look at moments from the theatrical release, including Grogu and Din Djarin facing off with snowtroopers. That's something we like to hear here on the Hoth Hangout channel. A massive Imperial AT-AT walker in the snow, as well as Zeb back in live action. Fun to hear that, if you're especially if you're a fan of Star Wars Rebels, and Grogu traveling with two tiny and Zellans, which if I'm correct in my memory, I believe that's the species that Babu Frick is.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be a lot of fun to see.
Yeah. I can't imagine being in the room there for that one. Mm-hmm. You knew there was a lot of yelling, a lot of cheering for that. The people who love Rebels cheering on for Zeb. Of course, Grogu and then Zellens got a lot of awe, you know, like, aw, you know. So I'm excited for the fandom. I'm excited to see what comes of this movie. And still slotted for May 22nd, 2026. So hopefully that date stays the same. Well, a little spoiler for next week. We may be talking about some projects for Star Wars, and that being one of them.
That feels so far away.
That feels
May
very
of
far away,
2026.
Actually.
Hopefully, it comes quicker than we think. But nonetheless, I wish we could have been in on this sizzle reel, gotten this video message. I wonder, do you think this is something they'll release to the public at a later time?
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of when they originally had The Mandalorian like announced at 2019. Well, not announced, but 2019. At Celebration, there was like they showed the first like few minutes of the episode, and because I was at that panel, so I remember that. And I don't think they ever really showed that, but they did also have something very similar to this, where it was like kind of giving you, it was like Dave and John, like they're my buddies, Dave and John, you know, that they were out there, they were talking about like how they made the show, how, you know, some of the effects and all that stuff. So I think that ended up finally making it to like Disney Plus a little bit. So I don't know if something like this will show it as well, just because it's like probably in the movie, right? Since it's going to be a movie, I'm sure that, you know, once it makes it to Disney Plus or whatever, they'll have like every piece of content that was made up to that point, including this.
Yeah, I would love to see this. I hope it gets released at some point, because I want to be in the know like the people in the room were.
Yeah, right. The room where it happened.
The room where it happened. Yeah, exactly. What is that from? Is that
it's from
Hamilton?
Hamilton. Yeah, it's from Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I know that reference somewhere.
All right, actually, Ben. Nice.
Yeah, I got some of that musical theater knowledge.
Good. I was like, please don't go over here. I might have to end this podcast if you don't know what that is.
I actually saw Hamilton for the first time, side note, probably like six to eight months ago.
Oh, really? What do you think of it?
It was good. I thought the first act was a lot stronger than the second act. But I liked it a lot. I feel like most of the songs I was familiar with were also from the first act, which was maybe why I thought the first act was so much stronger. But tune in to our side podcast coming soon, our musical theater analysis podcast.
Like, I know you're joking, but I'd be all in.
Yeah, I mean, we could get like a crew of people to do it too. And yeah. That's one of those things I feel like people get really passionate about. But anyways, we do have one more piece of news today before we start our discussion around the Luke Skywalker What If topic for today. Simon Kinberg, best known, I believe, for his work on a lot of the X-Men franchise films, has officially signed on to both write and produce a new Star Wars trilogy. And now it's technically not confirmed and somewhat unclear if this trilogy is the reported Rey Skywalker trilogy, which has potentially been in the works originally. Of course, it was reported that there was going to be this Rey movie And now it's seeming like there might be a Rey trilogy, and there's information out there as well that episodes 10, 11, and 12 are in the works as a trilogy. So, like, is Kinberg's trilogy different from the Rey trilogy? Is it different from the 10, 11, 12 trilogy? Like, are we dealing with three different trilogies here, or are they all the same thing? It's right. There's still no official confirmation on any of that, but nonetheless, this was news from the past week that he signed on to write and direct a new Star Wars trilogy, whatever that ends up being. What do you think, Joey?
I don't know. There's like, listen, I want there to be more Star Wars. I want there to be more Rey stories. Yes. But just the way that this information is kind of being piecemeal to us, I guess, is the best way. Whether it's, you know, this is going to be a trilogy or not going to be a trilogy, or, you know, oh, Stephen, was it Stephen Wright? Was that his name? The writer that left recently? Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, you know, he was, you know, he stepped away from the project, and now we have this. And yeah, it's just, it's just a big cluster of just confusion of what to be actually excited for. That's why I was so excited. And we knew Andor was pretty much all wrapped up and done. So that's why I was excited. Like, give us a date. We're good. But something like this, I mean, obviously the Mandalorian Grogu. We have the, what's the, wasn't there like an earlier era movie as well that was supposed to be there?
Dawn of the Jedi. That's Dawn of the Jedi, yes. James Mangold one, I'm right, pretty sure.
So there's, you know, sort of there are all of these movies that hopefully get made, and now we're talking about a full trilogy all of a sudden. I don't really remember this going to be a thing, you know. And especially if it's going to be something that's going to be named. I mean, if it's officially going to be named, I don't know if this isn't official, but if it's going to be episode 10, 11, 12, you know how much, I mean, that's what gives me the most anxiety, because, like, you know, people are going to be looking at that with, like, you know, with a magnifying glass and making sure everything looks right, you know, where it could have been just kind of like, all right, well, this is what Rey did, like, you know, after episode 9, you know, and that's doesn't have to be anything like that. But, you know, once you put the episode number after it, I think that's when it gets a lot more scrutiny, a lot more people would be a lot more critical about it. But I mean, whatever, you know, you and I, we'll take it. We'll like, all right, well, what kind of Star Wars is it? We'll be fine with it. But just knowing how many shows and movies and such have come and gone, either got canceled or canned or on hold, or, you know, I think that's, again, a thing to talk about maybe in a future episode, but for sure, that's exactly where I went to when I heard this news.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my biggest two thoughts is, like, they can announce whoever they want is directing. Like, it's like, oh, cool. Like, Steven Spielberg signed on, you know, he didn't actually, I'm just, you know, it could be some massive director and you're like, awesome. Like, there's a 75% chance this doesn't get made because that's the track record we're working with right now, you know?
Absolutely.
And then the other thought, like, to the 10, 11, 12, you know, thing being, if they do go that route with naming the episodes that, first of all, like, I don't really understand the reasoning. Like, if the episodic, you know, numbering of the previous, you know, 6 or 9 is supposed to be like the Skywalker saga.
Right.
And you know, there's so much controversy around the idea that, like, Rey being a Skywalker, even, you know, it's like, I feel like it's, you know, in a way, it's just like, see, she is. Now we have 3 more about the Skywalker saga. And you just know what the reaction is going to be. Like, I don't really understand. Like, give Rey a good movie. Like, get a well-written
one
script
solid movie.
Yeah.
And, like, then kind of go from there.
Make sure her character is well written in a way that can, like, people will receive it well, and just, like, you know, to be like this. Well, actually, it's going to be more Skywalker saga,
right?
And Rey is going to be that Skywalker. Like, you know, people aren't going to take that well. So,
right. I look at Rey like the last year of, like, an NBA player in their the last year of their contract. You know, like, show me that you could really do well, and then we're going to give you a lot of money going ahead, you know? So I feel like that's what they need to do with Rey here, is just give her one really solid, well-written movie, well-written storyline, and then go. I mean, not everything has to be a trilogy. It's fine. You know, we could have a one-off, like you said. And I think when you say this is just going to be a trilogy, I think that just sets you up for a lot of different things, you know. I mean, the same kind of goes with like TV shows, and maybe that's where the mindset is coming from, like the TV show side of things, where you make a season and you really don't know if you're going to be greenlit for the next season, you know. Let's look at Acolyte. Let's look at, you know, like Boba
That's
Fett.
That's what
you
I was going to say, too. You know, yeah.
So you just really don't know. But at least with the movie, you know, you have, and, you know, I don't know what, you know, the hours necessarily put into a movie or the money, but at least you have just that movie. And then you don't, you know, if it doesn't perform well, then you're like, okay, well, that's too bad, you know. But to have Kinberg come in and say, oh, another trilogy, because that's what everyone does, you know, I just feel like that's you're just painting yourself into a corner.
Yeah, I agree, and sadly, I just, the trilogy model, it's purely just a money thing, which, mm-hmm. you know, if it does well, it does well. I just hope it does well with a well-written story. So, remains to be seen if this, you know, wouldn't be shocked if this guy a year from now is like signing off of doing the project, because that tends to be the way things go nowadays. This is the way. Yeah. By the way, Steven Knight. Yeah, the name of that guy who recently signed off from the Daisy Ridley film project. But that's the way of Star Wars. This is the way nowadays, it seems. But we'll keep our ears to the pavement. Is that the expression?
Sure. We'll go with it.
As to what comes about this in future news. So. That about does it for the news in today's episode. We have no viewer comments to showcase this week. And we also want to showcase some results from the poll that we asked on the YouTube community tab, as well as over on X. We asked the question, of course, in last week's episode where we talked about Star Wars films and TV shows. The question was, which Star Wars do you like better, movies or TV shows? On the YouTube community tab, 79% of voters responding with movies, meanwhile 21% responding with TV shows. I feel like that's like probably relatively representative of the general Star Wars population, but maybe I would guess that that's more reflective of like an older generation of Star Wars fans,
mm-hmm.
and probably like the younger you get in your, you know, generations of Star Wars fandom, I think the reflection of getting closer to like a 60-40 movies, or maybe even like a 50-50,
mm-hmm.
would be, you know, more indicative of a younger generation. But so those are the results on YouTube. And meanwhile, the results over on the Hoth Hangout X account were even more one-sided, in that 100% of the votes went towards movies when we asked you all, which Star Wars do you like better? So a lot of movie fans out there. Can't lie, I would vote for movies as well, but I'm loving a lot of the TV shows. So hopefully Star Wars can even up the trend of the quality of TV shows that they make in the near future, and films too. You know, I'm excited that we're going back to that model with Mando and Grogu in about a year and a half time. So cast your votes in this week's community poll, which you can find on the YouTube community tab over on the Hoth Hangout X account. Check it out. Have your vote cast and your response heard and showcased in next week's episode of the podcast. As you mentioned, Joey, the big inspiration for today's episode, of course, is kind of related to this whole "What If" Marvel series, where if something was different, or even the opposite of what it, you know, how it actually went down, what would be the overall effect of that on the universe that it takes place in? And so, I think a Star Wars "What If" series is something that people have really advocated for a long time. And like you said, with the creation of Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy, more or less it kind of feels like a Star Wars "What If", because, you know, they're journeying to this galaxy where like everything is literally the opposite. You know, Jar Jar is a Sith Lord, Count Dooku's a good guy sitting on the Jedi Council, you know, all these things that are just, you know, polar opposites of what they are in the universe that we know and love, which is fun, you know, when you, especially in a context like a Lego movie where nothing is taken seriously. And so Luke turning to the dark side, I think for a long time, has always been one that people have been fascinated with. I think it's just kind of the natural thing that people gravitate towards when they think of like a significant Star Wars event that could have gone down differently, or even the opposite of. And so I guess I want to just sort of open the floor to you to begin us here, Joey. If Luke turned to the dark side, Do you have like a biggest hot take for what that biggest implication may have been?
I mean, you know, I was thinking about this a little bit. The question would be, how long would he be on the dark side? You know, because this would be definitely a story of redemption. You'd want a redemption arc for sure on this one. Would it be till kind of Return of the Jedi, you know, time period where it was like that quick? Or would it actually extend past that and like to the sequel trilogy, you know, where he is, you know, continues to be the dark side user? He's the one that is the Darth. What do we call him? Darth?
Darth Tashi.
Darth Tashi.
Yeah.
would that extend all the way out to that time? And imagine the stories. Remember, Rey and Finn were like, oh, you know, we've heard stories of Luke Skywalker, but now they're going to be hearing stories of Darth Luke. Well, I can't say it. I can't do that to Luke. But yeah, you know, we could. So will he be the, you know, the bad guy going into that series? You know, maybe that time period is a little bit shorter between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy at that point. You know, so there, you know, there's a lot, you know, there are a lot of implications. I personally, because we know how it all plays out now, right? We know Vader, you know, at the end of Return of Jedi, kind of goes back to the light because of Luke. Personally, I would like to get a little bit darker because, you know, this is a fun thing. It would be a little darker where he would, you know, he would actually be the one that takes out, you know, the Emperor, but then also takes out Vader, you know, so that would be, that's kind of like, but, you know, but the rebellion side of it, you know, Leia's still there. She's the one that is the light side user. Obviously, she's going to be the one that's going to be training with either Yoda or an Obi-Wan or something like that through there. Maybe because of that, you know, Yoda's like, you know what, I'm going to stick around a little longer. You know, I don't know if you've seen that meme where it's of Yoda dying at Dagobah, where, and I think the caption is like, if you have kids, you know exactly why he just wanted to take a nap or whatever. Just too many questions. You just want to go, you know. So maybe if Leia, you know, if Leia doesn't act that way, he'll stick around a little bit longer. Maybe that's the biggest implication. You have Yoda even longer, and, you know, because you need to, you know, properly, you know, train Leia in a way. And I'll say it again. I keep saying this. We didn't see a ton of training with Luke and Yoda. I mean, on screen, so we don't know how much was done. I always like to joke because it was like a week. It was like, you know, you ever take those classes in summer school where you have to do the entire semester, yep, but like within like, you know, 3 weeks? It was like, yep, that. It was like a speed course, you know, with Luke. So maybe with Leia, you know, you stretch it out a little longer. So that would be my fun take on it, where it would just be Luke kind of doing the usual Sith thing, where, you know, they would go after the Emperor, of course, and maybe Leia, you know, thinks that they're a part of it, but at the end of it, you know, like Luke takes out Vader too, and then he kind of just goes out into the distance, but at least he's gone for now, and then he has to take on a new apprentice, and maybe that's Rey, and then, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of fun twists and turns you can go with it.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking, like, well, first of all, before I get into some of my twists and turns that came up as you were talking, do you think the basic idea being, if I'm hearing you correctly, that if Luke turns to the dark side, it is almost like an inevitability that he will turn back to the light? Or do you think there's a world where he could just like stay, you know, evil?
I mean, that's the fun part, right? Is that, yeah, you know, I think because we know Luke as he is now, you want him to be, you know, you want him to have that redemption arc. But if that never existed, if this timeline, if this, you know, storyline of who Luke was never existed, and he just kind of continued on that dark path, I mean, that could definitely be, you know, kind of compelling as well, because they would be the balance. It would be Leia and Luke. That's the balance, you know.
Right.
You know, so that would be the balance between the light and the dark, and like forever. You know what I mean? So I think that would be a kind of cool way to bring that into the storyline.
And then it almost becomes like, I mean, what I immediately thought of is in some scenario where like Vader in his dying moments becomes more like neutral, or even good, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Luke, because like Luke killed him, or, you know, Luke turned against him and like gave into his hatred. You know, it almost like gives me the same symbolism as the father, son, and daughter in the Mortis, like,
oh,
arc.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, like, yeah, it does. Yeah, sure does.
Like, Vader is the father, Luke is the brother, Leia is the sister, and they even like occupy the same like positions of good and evil. Yeah, that would actually be a really compelling story. I feel like, you know, mm-hmm. Luke trains with Vader. They go to defeat the Emperor. They kill the Emperor. And then, like, Luke feels like this, I don't know, this extreme, like, quest or craving of power. Mm-hmm. And maybe the Emperor, like, you know, weakened Vader to the point where Luke took advantage and, like, you know, wounded him mortally in that moment and, you know, flees. Leia gets to the scene just in time,
mm-hmm.
saves Vader. Vader says, like, you know, there's still good in your brother. Yeah. And then, like, he becomes, like, the father, and then, like, Leia represents the light, and Luke represents the dark. Anyways, that was, like, one of the...
Yeah. Just,
and I feel like you could put so many variations on it, which is, I think, what makes something like this so much fun. So much so that, in fact, I alluded to, you know, this idea that this has been kind of one of the bigger points in Star Wars history that fans have really enjoyed creating, like, fan fiction around.
Mm-hmm.
And... more or less, I began like kind of writing my own
mm-hmm.
in preparation for this week's episode. And I think I want to focus in on this point of kind of whatever story you want to tell, like Luke's decision on Cloud City rather than like, you know, telling his father, I'll never join you, saying something along the lines of, you know, I will join you. Do you think that decision is made out of a sense of obligation to his father, obligation to the rebellion, or maybe even like hatred of the Emperor? Like, how do you see Luke taking that first like dip of the toe into the pool of the dark side, so to speak?
Oh, that's a great question. I think there's a combination of it, right? I mean, there is obviously the need to get rid of the Emperor. Right. So that's like number one. Number two, you kind of get reunited with your father. I mean, obviously during the Cloud City scene, that's like when he finds out, you know, and he, you know, I think Vader even says, like, you know, search your feelings, you know them to be true. So, you know, at some point he does understand that that's what it is there. So that's a lot to take in, that that is a possibility, because, I mean, at this point, he doesn't know Leia is his sister. Right. As shown by, we won't go into that, but we know that he understands, you know, he will understand eventually that this is his father, this is his family, his only family that he knows, right? So to have those two things together, and, you know, because it becomes a pretty good selling point when Vader's like, we could take him on together, you know. Mm. Because then the whole dark light thing, it kind of fades away a little bit, because the point is to get to the Emperor, right?
Right.
So that's how I would view like his mindset in that question.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm kind of lean the same way. I think one way that it could be different, and like rather than taking sort of like a I'm doing this, you know, to save my father or to defeat the Emperor sort of stance, like I think if Vader were to have like taken someone away from him or like, you know, separated him, Luke, from someone close to him, or like even killed someone close to him, especially, I think you would have seen a lot of the stuff that we see from Anakin in Attack of the Clones. Like Anakin, you know, at the end of episode one, it's like this kid might be the chosen one, and by episode two, you know, he's throwing like temper tantrums because,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the Tusken Raiders killed his mother. And this is like the first time he like really, I mean, he's moody throughout the film, don't get me wrong, but like this is the first time Anakin experiences like hatred for someone. And so I almost think in order for Luke's conversion to the dark side to not be like a, I'm doing this to like, you know, help the rebellion or help my father or like defeat the Emperor, I think it almost would need to be like Vader killed someone close to him if he was going to do it out of like a sense of malice.
Right, that's a good point. And, you know, yeah, and you kind of made that parallel to like Anakin. Yeah, that's, and even more, and I even kind of, this is kind of like out of left field, but kind of like Kylo and Han, like that kind of, you know, as well. Yeah. Just that father-son type of rivalry. I don't know how else to put it really, but to be able to make that parallel, I think that would have been a kind of a cool parallel too, if Luke were to join. I think that you also have to remember that Luke was like, if you think of the training that Anakin had between episode 1 and 2, like during that entire time, compare that to what Luke had. You know,
right, yeah.
And just constantly, you know, Anakin was constantly surrounded by a lot of Jedi, kind of having this mindset or the proper way to use the Force time and time and time again. Where Luke, I mean, he was super old when he started training, you know. He just doesn't have the time. He doesn't have the reps in to really be able to make that type of decision, you know, the way that someone like Anakin could have or someone like Obi-Wan could have, because he just, you know, he never seemed to have faced a ton of that question, having to like fight off the dark side. I don't want to be a part of the dark side. He didn't really have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I also feel like Luke's conversion to the dark side would be gradual, not because of Luke, but also because of Anakin. Like, if you're his father, you know, somewhere deep down, Vader is like offering this to Luke because he cares about him. Like, he's offering it from a place of like, as much as Vader probably wouldn't have thought this or said it, like the reason he wants Luke to join him is not only in Vader's quest for power, but like this is his bloodline and he like wants that with him. Like, whether you want to call that love or like selfish, you know, quest for power, like call it whatever you want. But like, I think Vader would take a more gradual approach to Luke's training in the dark side, because I think if you just like tell Luke, okay, like in order to kill the Emperor, like you're going to have to practice, you know, feeling these feelings of like giving in to your anger and your hatred.
Right.
So like go, you know, take out that innocent person. Like Luke's going to be really hesitant to do that at first. And so I feel like the process for training Luke would probably be really gradual and probably like hidden away in secrecy, you know, like take him to Mustafar or something, or I don't know, like take him to train in a place where it's like brutal. The way he's being trained is painful and aggressive. And it's really like instilling in him that hatred slowly, rather than just like giving him a mission early on. It's like, all right, you're a dark side user now.
Right. Yeah.
Go do this awful thing. You know,
do you remember in Jedi Lost, the Count Dooku audio novel, where he was training Asajj? It's just basically just beating her, like
brutal.
Just brutal. Yeah. And I think that would probably be the way, because the way he did it really was, she developed like hatred for him, you know what I mean? And maybe that's kind of the way to do it. You know, obviously with it being the bloodline, maybe that's not, it'd be, you know, here's a good question. Like, what would Vader's endgame be? Obviously to take out the Emperor, but would it just be throwing away the ways of the Sith and just being like, well, we're just going to rule the galaxy together. Don't worry about the rule of two. Don't worry about any of that. It's just going to be you and me. You know what I mean? I'd be interested in what his end game would be.
Right. Well, I think for Vader, like the dark side always presented itself differently than it did for someone like Palpatine. Like for Palpatine, it's just like, I'm concerned with like, how powerful can I be? Like, I'm like the, you know, the personification of evil, essentially. Vader, it's always like, how much power can I have to put, you know, not really myself, but more so like the people I love in a position, you know, especially like with Padme in episode 3.
Right, right.
Like his whole reasoning for, you know, saying, I will do whatever you say, master, in order to save Padme. And then he doesn't save Padme. And then it just feels like he's kind of a slave to this ideology of the dark side after that. And even when presented in episode 5, it's like, he he's like, Luke, you could join me and we could defeat the Emperor. Like,
right, yeah.
I think part of Vader's perception of the dark side, what am I trying to say? I guess that Vader's dark sideness is less selfish than Palpatine's is. I don't know if that feels... I mean, I'm sure there's like people out there who are like hardcore Vader fanatics who are like, no, he's like...
He's brutal.
He's brutal, yeah. But like,
I know, Rogue One though? Ooh, that was pretty brutal.
Right, yeah. I mean, ultimately, Vader has more struggle in like within himself than Palpatine does.
That's why he's able to be redeemed.
Right, exactly, yeah. And so I feel like I would like to see that same struggle within Luke in whatever idea we have of, you know, his turn to the dark side. It's like watching him struggle in the same way that Anakin struggled in episode 2 and especially at the end of episode 3 would be probably the avenue I would want to see Luke eventually go down in this hypothetical scenario. I want to kind of turn to a different aspect of this conversation and sort of focus on Leia's role in Luke's turn to the dark side and what that role would be in this, like, you know, little fan fiction thing that I wrote in preparation for the episode. I kind of had the idea that Leia would go to Dagobah. You know, she'd be sent by the Force Ghost of Obi-Wan to Yoda after his attempt with Luke fails. You know, he'd say something corny like, it seems we have to consider our other hope. A new hope.
Thank you, Amy's writing.
Yeah. New hope number two. And so then Leia would then travel to Dagobah, learn from Yoda in the same way that Luke did. Although, if Luke is training with Vader, my idea was like, well, maybe the time is longer here. So Leia actually trains a lot longer with Yoda while Luke is training with Vader.
Well, real quick, I'm picturing a side-by-side, like, training montage in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, in the 80s.
Close-up lightsaber shots where their face is illuminated by the color. yeah, and so, like, during this time, I think, you know, if Luke accepts the hands of Vader on Cloud City, I think most people would probably just presume he was dead, maybe, at this point, was my idea. Meanwhile, you know, he's being hidden by Vader and being trained. However, Leia, of course, being the sibling of Luke and now becoming more and more Force-sensitive, or, you know, tapping into her ability to be Force-sensitive, maybe, like, she is, like, has this feeling that she knows Luke is alive, which is, like, driving her training with Yoda. And so she's, you know, insisting that this search for him continue. And then that's kind of where I had, like, the idea of Leia going. And now as to whether she has, like, a role or involvement in the finality of the conclusion of this different Return of the Jedi arc, I wasn't sure what direction to go. What do you think Leia's role would be? Like, is she present in that throne room battle? Or is it still just Vader, Luke, and the Emperor, and it turns out differently?
I could see it happening where she's ready to fight for Luke. You know, that's who she wants to fight for. She can care less about Vader. Obviously, she wants to get rid of the Emperor. She wants to go fight for Luke, you know. And what I'm picturing is that she goes to the throne room battle, and she's running as fast as she can. She goes in there. And then, you know, he either, you know, if it is the, you know, the last breath of, you know, of Vader that we see. And then it would almost mimic what happened with Kylo Ren and Rey in that throne room where he, like, asked her to join her. You know, like, that is where it would happen there, you know. Like, he's like, look, I've got all this power now. You know, Luke would be like that. You know, Vader's idea the entire time was to, you know, have them be together, you know, Luke and Vader, to kind of rule the galaxy. But now Luke is now drunk with this power. I mean, that's just what happens with the dark side, you know? So then he ends up ending Vader in some way or whatever. And then there's the like, you know, you can join me, you know, like where Leia maybe thought like, okay, well, this could just be the end, you know? But then Luke's like, no, I'm not done here. You know, let's continue this road, but let's continue it together, because I also know that you and I are twins. I know that now too. And that's the only reason why I was able to, you know, have this strength, you know, because of you, you know, something like that, something cheesy like that. And then, you know, there's, you know, she's like devastated or whatever. And then get this, they have a fight. The two of them fight, you know, and it's going to be just like, you know, either Luke or Leia is, you know, injured in the battle. Something happens where, you know, something crashes into the throne room or something. They get separated. And then, you know, that's kind of where it ends, like the Return of the Jedi.
Mm. So which do you think is more likely, that Luke converts Leia to the dark side or that Leia reverts Luke back to the light?
I mean, at that point, which is more likely?
Which is more likely and which would make for the better story? Okay. And maybe they're the same thing.
Right. But, yeah. I'm thinking of the more likely. The more likely would be Leia turning Luke back. And this is why. Because Leia, you know, she's had all of these years in the Senate, in the Galactic Senate. She's seen the terrible things that the Sith have done, or, you know, that the Emperor have done. So she is very much against anything that is, you know, that ever had the Emperor's touch on it, right? And that being the dark side. So I think she would definitely be like, no way. There's no way I'm doing that, you know. Where on Luke's side, right, I think that he would be more, you know, because he's the one that kind of flip-flopped, right? So he was rebellion, he was light side user, but then he went back. And so the delta is smaller, you know, for that change mm-hmm. back, you know. Where it would be harder sell for Leia because she's always been on this side.
Right. Yeah, I tend to agree, I think. Well, I guess I'll just read you like the last little part of the one that I wrote out today, or, you know, in preparation for today. My idea was that Luke and Vader go to face the Emperor together. The Emperor's like just a little bit too strong. Leia shows up, and then like they all three just, you know, collectively face the Emperor and defeat him together. Vader is really badly wounded, but before dying, he's like, you know, tells Luke and Leia to like, you know, their siblings work together, like, thank you, Luke, thank you, Leia, like, we did this as a family. And then he dies, and then it's like Luke and Leia are left to rebuild the Jedi Order. So I guess I took like a slightly more optimistic look on that, but honestly, right, like, yeah. maybe this will be a fun way to kind of like, you know, round out our conversation about potential outcomes of a, you know, a what if Return of the Jedi throne room scenario. What is your most like out there idea? And I have one already. So if you need to take a minute to think of one.
Most out there. Oh, yeah, you can go first if you already have one.
Well, okay, I was thinking like, so I was kind of going with the story I had already. Like, you know, Vader trains Luke. They show up to face the Emperor. And I'm like, what could happen next that would just be like super out there and no one would ever expect? Leia shows up. And she's trying to get Luke and Vader to not give in to their hatred. And she somehow, you'd have to like really work on the story details here, because I don't feel like, as I'm saying it on the surface, it makes much sense. But somehow the Emperor convinces Leia to join him. And then, okay. And then like they go their separate ways. Vader's injured. The Emperor trains Leia. Vader trains Luke. And then it's like this epic 2v2 that happens later.
That'd be crazy. Yeah.
And then wait for it. It's not over yet.
Oh.
As the battle's happening, the elevator opens. Guess who's standing there?
Lando.
Yoda.
Yo. Yeah. I forgot he doesn't die right away in this timeline.
Yeah, he whips out some Attack of the Clones jumpy jump moves, and oh man, it's a epic. I don't know what the conclusion of the showdown was, but that was that was my really out there weird idea I had.
That's what a good one.
Do you have any?
Oh boy, way out there. I mean, I feel like what I've been saying has been kind of just out there, you know, just to continue to have Luke down that path. I mean, that just the thought of that, right, is kind of like bone chilling, you know, to imagine just Luke not ever turning back. You know, I think that's probably the crazy thought. Like maybe that they will continue to just have this balance in the force of the light and the dark between the twins. I think that would be almost poetic too, like, because it wasn't there. I think there was a Visions episode that had something like similar with that too.
Yes,
one twin was on, you know, on each side of the force.
Right. Well, and there was that old Republic cinematic back in the day, maybe like 15 years ago, of the two twins.
Yeah.
One of them's wearing, I think they're both technically dark side force users, but one of them's wearing white and one of them's wearing black. And the other one, the one who gives into his anger, oftentimes like accidentally kills his brother in a moment of real hatred and something like that, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And it was actually the good one, the one that was wearing the white, right? I think that was the trick there. So, yeah, I mean, this is fun. I mean, just to even have the discussion of what, you know, what it could mean, like going forward into Star Wars. I mean, and just like the cascading things, like, what would Obi-Wan think? What would like the Rebellion think? You know, what would, because you know the Rebellion's going to have to like go after Luke now. You know, things like that. You just, you know, you just never really think of. But my thing would be, I would love to see this extend like past Episode 6. You know. Where it's not just, you know, you have, it's all like, you know, where you're kind of like, all right, it's all nicely wrapped up in a nice little bow. I like to have that, like, well, you know, like the after the credits scene, you know, that they always have, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, Darth Luke will return in 2025, you know, whatever, something like that. I think that would be a cool thing to just continue on, because honestly, that would have been like, in you think from like a business standpoint, because people are gonna be like, oh yeah, you know, let's keep this rolling because this was so good.
Yeah, like Luke Skywalker's the leader of the First Order now or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Be kind of wild. You know what this wants to make, once like I want to do after an episode like this, I almost want to have like a competition or like a contest for people. And it's like, submit your fan fictions, basically.
Yeah.
And then
we just
then
read them.
We just read them.
Go through them, yeah.
And then, like, we pick the best one, and maybe there would be, like, a prize for the first place fan fiction or something. Like, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that do that or have done that before. I just think it'd be so fun to have, like, so much different input from Star Wars fans. You know, you get all these different perspectives and potential stories and outcomes. And I just, the idea of that sounds really fun to me, but... hey, if you're listening or if you're watching on YouTube, let us know on the socials or in the comments of the YouTube video. You know, if you want to do something like that, I mean, I'd read some Star Wars fan, you know, short stories.
I mean, there it might be better than the actual canon stuff that we've been seeing lately. Just
you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Well, having said all of that, again, let us know your thoughts on today's episode. Would you want to see Luke join Vader, join the dark side? What would that look like for a you know, a different sequel trilogy where maybe Luke is the bad guy? Let us know your thoughts on today's question of the week over on the socials or in the comments of the video version of the podcast. And on next week's episode of the podcast, episode 105, to kind of tie this into some of the news that we touched on today, there's a lot of upcoming Star Wars projects. There's been a ton of news about upcoming Star Wars projects. I think it's fair to say there's also a lot of confusion about, like, what is happening, what is not happening. If it is, what stage is it actually at? Like, what does it mean that we have a writer confirmed, but that production hasn't started? Like, all those questions and more are what we'll be dealing with in next week's episode of the podcast.
It might be a four-hour episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll cover stuff, you know, short term as Skeleton Crew that comes out in less than 3 weeks, to as long term as however many movies we've been getting announced lately that are like, yep, coming out in 2032. We're really excited for it. So all of the upcoming projects from the, you know, newly or soon to be released ones to the long awaited ones we'll be covering in next week's episode of the podcast. So stay tuned for that. Gonna be a fun one next week. And having said all of that, want to give you one last reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast on YouTube, check us out for the video version of the podcast, as well as our reactions to the latest Star Wars shows when they come out, including our reactions to the upcoming Skeleton Crew show, which will be available over on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. Check us out there. You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or short fan fiction stories. We'd love to have those sent to our email too. If any of you out there are, fancy yourself a writer, send us your Star Wars fan fictions to our email and we'd love to check them out. You can find the Hoth Hangout podcast anywhere you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also does allow it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. And you can find the link to our community Discord server down in the show notes of today's episode as well. Joey, any last thoughts on all things Star Wars? What if? Will this be something we get someday? What do you think about Luke potentially being a dark side force user?
I hope we get something from Star Wars. I mean, but you're right. I mean, there are a lot of like just very talented writers out there. They don't have to be writing for Star Wars. So I would love to like get my hands on some fan fiction to see what other people thought. And, you know, this might be, maybe this is a new little episode type of thing that you and I will do. Just throw our what if questions at us and see what we can come up with. Like, what if the Emperor was a light side user, something like that, you know, how kind of crazy thing would that be? So this was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun like writing this this podcast together, and I'm sure you did as well with your fan fiction.
Yeah, maybe if we get enough people wanting it, I'll release it to the it's literally one page and it's very poorly written in about 2 hours time or less, but actually, it's probably even less than that. It's probably more like an hour. But regardless, maybe we'll release that. Maybe we won't. Remains to be seen. Tell you what, I'll release it in the Hoth Hangout Discord server. How about that?
There you go. if you join the Discord server, you can see it.
If you join the Discord server, you can read the one-page fan fiction that I wrote for today's episode. So, lastly, thank you to Gibbo for producing today's show video and assets. Gibbo, who would never turn to the dark side.
Never.
Shout out to Gibbo, who was unable to be with us today, but shout out to you, Joey, for doing the behind the scenes work today, some of the scene changes and whatnot and stuff like that, and all the preparations that go into that. So shout out to you as well, and much love to Gibbo. Hopefully we'll catch you on next week's episode of the podcast, Gibbo. I do also want to mention, Gibbo, guess how long this podcast took? Less than an hour.
Let's go. We could talk for another 2.5 minutes and we'd be still under.
Oh, can we make it? I don't know. I think we're going to make it.
This is where Gibble like, hurry it up.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening to today's episode. We hope to catch you in next week's episode of the podcast. Once again, where we'll be talking about all the upcoming Star Wars projects. Appreciate you so very much. We'll catch you in the next one. And until then, may the Force be with you.